those nine different gifts. The gifts of the Spirit that can be broken down in speaking, and sometimes these are the gifts that are manifest the most: tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. I guess because they can operate well and I shouldn't say easily, but more readily, I guess, more readily in people who are yielded to the operation of the Spirit in their lives. Then there are gifts of knowledge. There's the word of knowledge. There's the word of wisdom. And there's the discerning of spirits. And that's the Lord quickening things in your mind and in your heart. And you may be have asked in a Bible study or in a time of testifying, witnessing to someone, you may have been asked a question that you did not have an answer readily available. And you prayed quickly in your heart and mind, and it was like a light turned on. There's a verse of Scripture, or there's an answer. That's the word of knowledge that God works in your life. Praise God. And we really should expect these things to operate because the Spirit works those gifts in His body. And when you are baptized in the name of Jesus, when you are filled with His Spirit, you're in that body. So expect those things to be present. And it's not going to be a big stamp, you know, like in a passport or something. Now you can enter this realm and like that. No, it's just going to be like a still small voice that Elijah heard, and the Lord will minister. So that, by the way, discerning of spirits. There's a lot of spirits in this world, and I think it's going to be multiplied the closer we get to the coming of the Lord. There's spirits that, well, they're all lying spirits, but that aspect of honesty. I talked to you about how the woman at the well had to answer honestly, "I don't have a husband," and the Lord telling her, "You've had five husbands, and the one you're with now is not your husband." He wasn't demeaning her. He wasn't throwing that up as though it was a bunch of trash. He was simply showing who she was dealing with, because he said, "If you knew who it was that was speaking to you, you would ask him for water." Well, how can you get water? You don't have any way to draw it. Go get your husband. It was like a total different, a change of subject. But to her credit, she said, "I have none." And then when they started talking about worship, the Lord emphasized that point. You must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's the truth of the Word of God, and that's the truth that needed to abide in her heart and in her life. And fortunately, she passed that test. And no doubt, she was the seed for a huge revival in Samaria in Acts chapter 8. And because I wouldn't have been very much farther down the road in terms of time. Months, if not years, and so the power of God was there. Now, this aspect of truth is so important, and to be able to discern when someone is hungry, be able to discern when someone is lying, be able to discern when there's a situation of a spirit that is plaguing and harassing someone, and be able to pray the hand of God, the deliverance of God in those situations. I believe that God wants to operate in that way. Let's look at it this way. The more the devil operates, with his lying spirits and his, and even signs and wonders. The Bible talks about signs and wonders that the lying spirits are going to do. The more that is present, the more I believe God is going to rise up and bring his people into an understanding of how his spirit can operate through them and defeat the lying spirits and the work of the devil.
Yes.
Praise God. So then, the third category is gifts of power. And thank God, the power of faith, the power of the gifts of healing, and the power of the working of miracles. The devil may try to imitate those. I've heard the devil speak in tongues. Odd type of thing, but you can tell, you know, it's inspired by not the Holy Ghost, but the power that the Lord shows. Praise God! And again, it's not going to be something detrimental. It's not going to be something that drags people down. It's going to be something that lifts them up, encourages, brings positive, brings the blessings of the Lord. Amen. And God's going to use you in those instances. Again, a Bible study in someone's living room at the kitchen table, and there's a need, there's an illness, there's a sickness that you recognize or that has been shared and spoken. Praise God. And you can pray right then and believe God that he can do that work.
Yeah.
Amen. And thank the Lord there are those among us that we recognize have been mightily used. The older men like T.W. Barnes maybe a little bit younger, Brother Stone King and Brother Mark Morgan. You know, we could name several who have been used mightily, Brother Jeff Arnold, these different ones. But it doesn't have to be, a name. It doesn't have to be a name other than Jesus' name. Praise God. You can put your trust in the Lord, and I encourage you to do that. Praise God. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to go to the mortuary and try to raise somebody from the dead. You know, the Lord gives you common sense. But don't be terrified. Don't be afraid to say, can we pray about that? And then step right into the area of prayer, because God gives that gift, the gift of faith, the gifts of healing, the working of miracles. Amen. And he does it quickly. You know, I look at the Old Testament when the Holy Ghost was not poured out, and I look at Elisha being told by the young worker, I lost the axe head. I was chopping, and the axe head came flying off the handle. It fell in the water, and it sunk. And besides that, it was borrowed. Oh, he's hearing that report. And he gets up, and he says, where did it sink? And the young man took him there, and he got a stick, probably broke it, threw it in the water. The stick was floating. And then here comes some ripples and some bubbles, and there's the axe head floating. Just like that. I don't think there was any mumbo jumbo or hocus pocus, if I can say it that way. I don't think there was any long drawn out prayer. I think he just said, show me where it went down. And he got that stick and he threw it over there, and out of that muddy silt and water that he couldn't see the bottom, here come the axe head floating right alongside the stick. Pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Don't you think God, when you have his spirit and you have his name and you're washed in his blood, don't you think God is going to step in and say, I'll honor that prayer.
Yes.
I'll show my work.
Yes.
I'll reveal my hand. You trusted in me. You believed me. You claimed my promise. It's what I'm going to do for you. Praise God. And just a simple prayer and believing God. Go ahead and pray in tongues. Praise God.
Yes.
Right there in somebody's living room. And just let the power of the Lord flow. Okay, so remember, it's the giver of the gift that we are focusing on. Praise God. And these gifts continue to operate in love and by the Spirit of God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he did for the apostles, what he did for the prophets long ago, he still is able to do that today. Look at 1 Corinthians 2 and 4. Paul, in his wisdom, Paul in his training, his education, his ability, he did not trust in words of man's wisdom. And even though he could have really laid it on in terms of theological terms and words from the law and his knowledge of the scripture and so on, he said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." He is magnifying the one who has the Spirit and the one who has the power. Praise God. And he was letting the Lord do the demonstration. And God was there to honor his word. Praise God. So, we oftentimes are faced with needs, faced with sickness, sometimes quite drastic, sometimes a problem, but not fatal or terminal or anything like that. And we just want to be rid of it. So the question is asked, can I be healed? And thank God the answer is yes. Amen. We can believe and receive. And obviously, I'm teaching tonight to people who have had numerous instances of healings personally and are aware of many, many instances here in our church, in our area on the peninsula, and throughout the district and the United Pentecostal Church around the world. Praise God, the power of the Lord that is so great. Now, the reason we can give a strong affirmation, yes, you can be healed, is because Jesus paid the price. Jesus already made the way. There doesn't have to be anything further done except to believe it and receive it. He paid the price, both for salvation and for healing. Peter, in his first letter, makes reference to the precious blood, and he makes reference to it in two areas. First of all, redemption. In 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, he clarifies, "You were not redeemed with corruptible things. It wasn't silver and gold that bought your salvation, but it was the precious blood of Christ." Amen. And so he establishes that's the price that was paid, the precious blood of Christ. Amen. And our minds go back to the report of him being whipped, being scourged with that cat of nine tails that fell across his back 39 times, and his shredded flesh, beat to a pulp, that was literally the way it was, and his blood running down the back of his legs and pooling on the stones in Pilate's court. That's what happened. And then the spikes being nailed into his hands and feet, the spear driven into his side. Yes, it was his precious blood. Amen. And thank God, redemption is the result. What a horrible picture. What a tremendous price. But thank God, what a wonderful, wonderful redemption plan he put in place. Also in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, Peter puts it in past tense terms. He's borrowing from Isaiah 53, where the scripture talks about with his stripes we are healed. The apostle says, and by his stripes we were healed. He already says it's a finished work. It's already done. It's already complete. Praise God. And so, for the Lord to provide in that way, it means that we are able to claim healing. Praise God. Now, let me just quickly go through a couple of three or four scriptures here that would make reference of how inclusive this is. Healing for everyone and everything, and salvation for everyone. Praise God. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:17 that we trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Not just a smidgen, if I could use that vernacular. Not just a small portion, but richly he gives us all things that we can enjoy them. 2 Peter 1 and 3. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Peter made the assurance, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's quite a bit. That's an amazing open door. All things that pertain to life and godliness. The Lord has provided that. His divine power gives us that. Praise God. And thank the Lord, the power of his promise, the promise of his power that sweeps aside every impossibility and makes it possible as we call on the Lord, and sweeps aside doubt and unbelief and makes it available to us. Praise God. 2 Peter 3 and 9, Peter would make the call that God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that all, again, indicates that these countless blessings, these numerous opportunities that the Lord would make available to all, and repentance is still the step that we need to take and that others need to take before the Lord. Can someone be healed before they repent? In the Bible, there were some who had a healing touch without any record of their repentance. However, it could have been very simultaneous that when they recognized the Lord was doing a work for them, that they were quick to ask the Lord to also forgive them and to be brought into favor and pleasing him. Praise God. Thank the Lord for that. Philippians 4:19, again, another all. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Paul giving that assurance to the Philippian church and to all of us as well. Thank God. His divine supply will minister to all. And thank God, he has the double cure. He has salvation. He has healing. Now, are there conditions for healing? Well, faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And we can reverse the order there. With faith, it is possible to please him. Praise God. We come to God believing. The avenue of approach is faith. And we believe him. All things are possible to him that believeth. Wow. There's that all things aspect again that we emphasized in the other verses of Scripture. Mark 9:23. All things are possible to him that believeth. Praise God. Mark 11:24. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive. Praise God. And you shall have them. Wow, that opens up an incredible door. But we have trouble claiming that. We have trouble believing that. And if it doesn't happen immediately, we're quickly discouraged and give up. Oh, hang on.
Yeah.
Hang on. Praise God. And 1 John 5 and 4, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, I want you to notice it doesn't quantify or qualify the faith, does it? Even our great faith, even our substantial faith. No, it just says faith. And that's what the Lord said to people that he commended or that he ministered to, healing and provision because of their faith. The two blind guys that were calling out to him, he simply said, according to your faith. And it wasn't according to your great faith, according to your amazing faith. He just said, your faith.
Yeah.
Maybe it was tiny. Maybe it was barely there. But he said, your faith. The woman with the issue of blood, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Again, no quantity, no qualifying, just simply your faith. It doesn't help to hear someone admonish you, if you had more faith.
Yeah.
Oh, if you really believed. We're trying to believe. We're trying to have faith. And for somebody to say that, I know, and you probably know, people who were crushed by those words. They don't help. But we're trying to have faith. Brother Sanders from Honolulu that has ministered here a few times. His daughter tipping over into a cooler on the deck and drowning. Heartbreaking. Oh my goodness. I can't imagine the pain. I can't imagine the questions. And then somebody saying, if you had more faith. My word. You almost want to feed them the fivefold ministry. But God used it. Because they were on their way to Jordan to minister in the place of missionaries who were coming home. They were going to be furlough replacement missionaries for the 12 months that the missionaries were home. And when they got there, the government official that they came in contact with, and you see, the church was not recognized in Jordan. It was not. They didn't have, well, they didn't have the documents. But the official that they came in contact with had lost a child. And immediately there was a connection. I don't know why the Lord would choose to make a connection that way. It seemed like, but God's God. I'm not him, you're not him. And we let God be God. But we rejoice in what he is able to do to open doors. So that aspect of you had more faith. Oh, my goodness. Believe with those people. Believe with those who are hurting. Believe with those who are in need. Amen. And trust the Lord to help you to demonstrate faith as well. The man with the withered hand in the synagogue, stand forth, the Lord said. And he probably was trying to avoid attention. He didn't want his deformity to be noticed. He wanted to be in the synagogue, but he didn't want to be the center of attention. And here's the Lord saying, stand forth. And then the Lord said, stretch forth your hand. The very thing he could not do. And now the Lord's telling him, stretch forth your hand. Wow. But he did. Praise God. He demonstrated faith. The ten lepers now, that were told to go and show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were healed. And then the one leper came back and gave praise to the Lord, and the Lord blessed him with even more. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Praise God. They demonstrated it. The man born blind, go and wash in the pool. He's still blind. How in the world is he going to find his way to the pool? And he went, he washed, he came seeing. A demonstration of faith is very important. The unfortunate thing is more often unbelief is demonstrated. When he went to his hometown of Nazareth, they said, isn't he the carpenter's son? Aren't his brothers here and his sisters here? What's going on here? And because of their unbelief, he did not many mighty works. The unfortunate thing is unbelief is demonstrated instead of faith being demonstrated. God help us to be able to step out with obedience and do the will of God and show his power. Praise God. And we thank God that we can be obedient. The conditions of Exodus 15:26, where the Lord said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. One of the powerful I ams of the Old Testament. The one who spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. I am that I am. Here he is saying, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Look at the conditions of Exodus 15:26 that are included in that verse. If you will diligently hearken, if you will do that which is right in his sight, if you will give ear to his commandments, if you will keep all his statutes. Wow, how many conditions is that? Four? Now, any of those conditions impossible? Any of them out of reach? No, we can hear, we can listen, we can obey. Praise God. And the Lord's work then being done in our lives. And praise God, it will happen. Now, sin no more is what the Lord spoke to the adulterous woman in John chapter 8. And he spoke to the man at the pool who was lame for 38 years. Sin no more. Those are conditions also. Praise God. And so obedience, even after the miracle, well, especially after the miracle, obedience is important. Praise God. How do I get faith? Thank God for the testimonies. Thank God for the examples of answered prayer. Thank God for the power that's been displayed. The simplest way is get more of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more the Word of God, the more faith. Praise God. Look at Psalm 107 and verse 20. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word. Now we know from the New Testament that his word was made flesh in Jesus Christ. Is God manifest in the flesh, the visible representation of God. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Praise God. But in the Old Testament here, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Praise God. So healing and deliverance. That demonstrates the priority of salvation as well as healing, not just the miracle work, but the change that God can bring in our lives. Amen. And the power he has demonstrated. 1 Kings 8 and 56 again assures us not one word has failed of his good promise. Not one? That's what it says. Not one word. Praise God. So, the word of the Lord. How we put our trust in that word is so important. The word made flesh. Thank God grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The compassionate Christ reaching out with healing to the multitudes, traveling through the villages and the towns and healing people. We have instances in the Gospels of his healing, but oh my, I think what John said we need to remember. If everything was written down that the Lord had done, the world couldn't contain the books. Oh, we're going to find out some of those things when we get to the heavenly realm. Praise God. How exciting that's going to be to have more testimonies of healing, more testimonies of blessing, and then certainly be able to see even more of what we've been able to understand and so on. So thank God we can put our trust in the Lord. Now, Moses was just a three-month-old baby when his mother put him in the basket and put him in the river. And then she got him back in a few hours and kept him for a few more years. It was in that span of time that she imparted faith into the heart of Moses. Praise God. Thank the Lord for faithful mothers. Amen. And at the age of 40, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. The Pharaoh was all powerful. Oh my goodness. Nobody could stop him. Nobody could reverse him. He was supreme power on the earth. But that didn't keep Moses from making his choice. And Hebrews 11 says he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Pharaoh was very visible. All of his power, all of his authority, all of his wealth, all that he could do in the political realm, and the punishment that he could mete out. Ooh, boy, that was very visible. But Moses said, I see him, and that's who I'm going to follow. That's who I'm going to obey. See, that's kind of like seeing all of the problems arrayed before you. It's kind of like seeing all the impossibilities, all of the negative, all of the symptoms and the reality of the need of the illness or whatever. But if you see him who is invisible and you hold on to his promise and you believe him, praise God, that faith in operation can bring you through. And that's what it did for Moses in the next 40 years. All the miracles that ministered to the needs, the power of God being there as well. So, simple prayer. Prayer for yourself. A headache, anything. Praise God, we can call for the elders of the church, and that's a method of that healing comes, my exercise of faith. But you can pray for yourself. And amen, the Lord does that work. Encourage yourself in the Lord like David did, and see the Lord work in a special way. Now, the elders of the church can be called, and they'll anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. Praise God. And the Lord will raise you up. Amen. Thank God. Faith can be increased. Faith can grow. And healing can come anywhere, anytime, under any circumstances. And we thank God that it has happened. It has ministered. It has provided. Praise the Lord. Now, again, going over the terms, healing is over a period of time. A miracle is in the moment. Praise God. It's instantaneous. But both are the mighty works of God. Amen. So, yes, you can be healed. Hindrances. What are some hindrances to healing? Obviously, unbelief. Maybe putting other priorities and so on. A lack of faith is the probably the largest culprit in that area. But again, remember, you're not putting confidence in yourself. You're putting confidence in Him. And you're not just trusting for the gift, you're trusting the giver of the gift. Praise God. And your confidence in the Lord is what you can put forth. Amen. AJ, if you could find Philippians 1 and 6, please. Brother Mike.
They say obedience, like Naaman, his obedience was the big hindrance for him. He didn't want to obey the prophet told him to do.
Exactly. His pride, yeah, there's a hindrance. His pride. His preconceived notions. I thought he was going to come out and pray for me. And he was mad that the prophet just sent a messenger out and said, go and dip yourself in the Jordan 7 times. And then he gets on ranting and raving about how the rivers in Damascus are so much better than that muddy trickle down in of Jordan. But finally, his servants convince him. He had asked you to do something difficult, if he had asked you to do something expensive, you would have done it. But now it's a simple thing. Just go do it. And oh my, what a powerful demonstration that the Lord did on his behalf because of his obedience. All right, Philippians 1 and 6. He has begun that good work. Be confident that it's going to continue. Don't feel like it's the Lord's going to leave you high and dry. Don't feel like the Lord's going to give up on you in your hour of greatest need. Be confident. Hebrews says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Praise God. And thank the Lord. That we hold on to that, Hebrews 10:35, we hold on to our confidence. Praise God. Brother Rick.
Sometimes there's an expectation of perhaps people that there'd be a miracle, and the Lord is doing the healing, and so there's that expectation turns into a disappointment.
Okay.
And it becomes a distraction, and the eyes are off from the giver.
Sure.
Holy Ghost is thwarted, and yet the healing is taking place.
Yeah. Right.
And disappointment gets in the way.
And it's important to trust the Lord for His answer. And the distinction here that Brother Rick is drawing between a healing and a miracle has got to be kept in mind. God, I trust you for the miracle, I trust you for the healing. Whatever you want to do to provide the answer, your will, Lord, not my will. And
both of them are miracles.
Amen. Truly, healing is a miracle. just remember, it is going to take some time. And, oh, the miracle of the moment is awesome. But so is the healing over a period of time. And both are the Lord's work. And so try to eliminate preconceived notions. Try to eliminate, you know, putting the Lord in your box. And let him do the work. Praise God. Brother Thomas. Amen. And that expectation that the Lord can do the work doesn't elevate us. It doesn't, you know, we can't pour out the Holy Ghost as much as I would love to. I can't. He gives the outpouring. Praise God. And same with healing. I can't do the healing. He does. And we glorify Him in those aspects. And let the Lord work through us. Praise God. But not to, you know, feel like God let you down because the miracle didn't happen. Believe for the healing. Praise God. And that's probably more common than the miracle, isn't it? We thank God for notable miracles, but we thank God for healing. That, you know, we praise God for cancers being healed. And that was over a period of time. Sister Denny has had two occurrences of cancer, and the Lord had healed her of both. And but it was over a period of time. And thank God that He can choose to work His way, and our confidence is in His way, and His work. Praise God. Now, here's an area that can present a huge problem. 1 John 3 and 21. 1 John 3, 21. It lends itself to the aspect of confidence and in obedience. If our heart condemn us not, you know, the Lord speaks to your heart. The Lord knows your heart. We pray, search my heart, O Lord, and that's a good thing to pray, because our heart can condemn us. But if there isn't any condemnation there, praise God, we have confidence towards God. And look at verse 22: whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. There's the link again, like Exodus 15 and 26. The same, you know, keep, understand, do, and so on. This is why David would pray, create in me a clean heart. He recognized the mistakes he made. He knew he had messed up. He knew Uriah's murder, the baby's death, were linked to his adultery with Bathsheba, and he couldn't ignore it. He couldn't just pass it off. But he prayed, create in me a clean heart. Praise God. And thank the Lord, we can put our trust in Him as well. Now, the symptoms of being sick are really hard to ignore. The reality that is there day after day after day has a way of bringing you down. We know that. That's that we're not just trying to ignore it. But we keep our eyes on Him. and we believe him for the touch that he's able to give. We don't ignore the symptoms. We know they're there. We know of the sickness. We know the problems. But we let faith see what is not seen. And we keep going. We spend time with the Lord. Prayerlessness, sickness can either help to make you better or can make you bitter. It can move you closer to the Lord or it can pull you farther away. And prayerlessness sometimes is a result of sickness. All right, God, if you're not going to answer my prayer, if you're not going to bring healing and so on, you know, and the devil's having a heyday. But we spend time with the Lord. He's the giver of all good gifts. Every good gift, every perfect gift, James 1:17 says, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. And we put our trust in the one who is able to do that. Praise God. And we rise to the challenge. How much more will your heavenly Father give? And we determine, I'm going to find out. Because he's got good things to give. Because here's what happens. Prayerlessness leads to carelessness. And you lose sight of what's at stake here. It's your soul. Your soul's eternal destination. Praise God. And that's what we've got to be careful of. Okay, last point. David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He probably recognized just how amazing the human body is. He's sitting out there by himself in the campfire, and the sheep are milling around, and he's maybe looking at the stars and at the shrubs or trees, and then he thinks about himself, about how he's out here and he eats food, he drinks water. He gained strength. You know, just imagining. And he's sitting there by the campfire by himself. He's the shepherd. And he's just overwhelmed of how the Lord's creation is so incredible, so awesome. Take care of that creation. Take care of it. Don't tempt the Lord your God. And just say, oh, well, the Lord's going to heal me. If something happens, the Lord will heal me. Well, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. You know, don't go abusing it. You don't defile the temple of God. The law of sowing and reaping still is in effect. And make sure your habits are not addictions. Eliminate those. Let the Lord help you to eliminate those addictions. And because afflictions will come. We're in this human body. And it's not immortal. It's not incorruptible yet. That time is coming. But right now, it can be damaged. It can be hurt. It can become sick. So, you are the temple of the Spirit that dwells in you. The temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So be in that place. All right? 3 John 2. Thomas, if you'd find for us 3 John and verse 2. Okay, so this comparison that is made, let your physical body reflect your spiritual health. Wow. If that was a true level of comparison, there'd be a lot of sick people, wouldn't there? Because their spiritual health is almost zero. And some of you would be in pretty strong physical health because your spiritual health is strong, even though your physical health may be weak. Well, John is saying here, and notice how he phrases it, I wish above all things. That's a pretty strong statement. To be spiritually healthy, to be physically healthy. And I think physical health is just as important as spiritual health. And Paul said, though our outward man is, you know, basically failing, our inward man is renewed day by day. So we know what is priority here. We know what's important. But this idea of physical health being important like spiritual health is something I think we need to keep in mind. So very simple. Exercise, eat right. Along with the exercise, rest. And be clean and godly. Praise God. Again, those addictions, let the Lord help you overcome them. Praise God. And balance that work and rest. And let the Lord bring the blessing to you. Praise God. Because God wants to use you as a witness of what he can do for salvation, for healing, for overcoming, for blessing, for everything. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Praise God. So this idea of the health that God wants to give us. We had a lot of prayer tonight for people who are not well. Some with the flu and the cold type afflictions, which are daily or can last a couple of weeks, to situations that are a little more drastic and ongoing. But it doesn't matter. We put our trust and our faith in the Lord, and he can do that work. Praise God. And as long as we're in this life, we're going to face those kinds of needs. Some to greater degree than other situations, but nonetheless, we can put our trust in the Lord who is going to do that work. Praise God. And right now, I'd just like us to praise the Lord and thank him for the healing that he has done for you, done for me. Amen. And God has demonstrated his power in a tremendous way. And thank God we can give him thanks and praise for it now. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I'm so thankful for the work that you've done in my life and my heart. Thank you, Lord, for touching me with a healing touch so many times, so often, Lord God. Thank you for meeting the needs, Lord, that have been in my body. Thank you for meeting the needs that have been in my spirit. Thank you for so great salvation. Oh, God, I glorify your name. I worship your name. I praise your holy name. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. I glorify you today. Wonderful Lord, wonderful Lord, wonderful Lord. I praise your great name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for doing that work for us. Thank you for touching us with your healing hand. Thank you for your precious blood, Lord, that brings salvation and healing. Thank you for the power of your name. Thank you for the power of your blood. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and glorify you. Oh, Lord, we lift you up. We glorify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. One area I didn't mention is the area of the heart. I'm thankful that in three or four places in the scripture, the Bible says he heals the broken heart, or he's nigh to a broken heart. Again, in our world, in our society, I think that area has increased. The area of a broken heart, and I'm not talking about, you know, the romantic type thing, even though that would be included. I'm talking about the bitter disappointments that someone has had. I'm talking about abuse that may have taken place years and years and years before. Just a host of things that are an extreme weight on someone's spirit and emotional well-being. Thank God he still knows how to heal. And an area that medical science or psychiatric treatment could not touch, but he does. See, that's the testimony. That's the work that God wants to do through you. Amen. Ah, what a tremendous God that we put our trust in today. Amen. Amen. Why don't we come here now to the front, and I'll just put the offering plate out here, and you can drop your offering in, and then we're just going to close in prayer here today. Appreciate you being faithful to Bible study in the house of the Lord. We're sorry for those who are not well, but we're believing God's going to do a work. Praise God. And thank the Lord that we can be the vessels that he can use. I want us to pray just specifically here now that God would use you. God would use you. Your testimony, your word, your ministry, your witness, your outreach in touching someone else and being the messenger, being the means by which somebody else could come in touch with this precious word, these wonderful promises. Amen. And the Lord will do a work through you. Okay? Can we ask the Lord to use us now in that way? Oh, Lord God, thank you, Jesus, that we could be your servant. Thank you, Lord.